Former Energy Secretary Chris Huhne has been all over the news yesterday. His political career lies in ruins this morning. All down to 3 penalty points. Well, slightly more than that, isn't he? He perverted the course of justice. Yesterday, he changed his plea to guilty for passing speeding points to his then wife 10 years ago. Of course, he had been publicly denying the charges, now faces the prospect of jail. Legal bills reported to be around £500,000. He says that he will resign his post as MP. The former Lib Dem MP, Lembit Opwick, with us this morning. Morning to you, Lembit.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing okay, thank you. The local journalist, Andrew McVeigh. Morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Lembit, does he deserve jail? I know it's been the populist thing to say over the last 24 hours that, you know, bang him up. But does he actually deserve jail? If you think what people in the UK have had suspended prison sentences for or community orders for. Lembit?
Sorry, I didn't realize you asked me. I'm not going to be the judge. And the reason I say this is because if I'm going to join the media scrum to condemn people, then I've got to be consistent and make that judgment all the time. I'm going to leave that to the legal case. Having said that, I do think that obviously he has to pay some sort of a tariff for what he's done. And there are two factors here. One is he's been denying his guilt for quite a long time. And the second one is, of course, that he can't be treated better or worse than any other citizen. And already, bear in mind, he's paid one fine, which is the end of his political career. That's pretty damn painful.
But, Andrew, there's my point. He shouldn't be treated any better, but he also shouldn't be treated any worse than any other citizen. So therefore, do you think, you know, spoofing about penalty points deserves jail?
Yes, it does. It's against the law. He was, there was a man in England last year was jailed for 8 weeks for exactly the same thing. He denied that he got that he was speeding when he was caught speeding and he put the blame on somebody else. It was taken to court. He was jailed for 8 weeks. So why should Chris Huhne and his lawdy position as a multimillionaire and a member of parliament, why should he be treated any better than this man in England, than any of us who, if we were to do it, we would more than likely be sent to jail? And he didn't just make one misdemeanor. I think the thing is he kept repeating the offence. I mean, he lied multiple times. He lied to police in 2003 about who was driving the car. He lied again when his wife blew the whistle 8 years later when she revealed this in a newspaper that she had taken the penalty points for him. He lied to the courts. He lied to his party leader. And surely Lambert would agree with that, to lie to your party leader, to lie to your party, and to lie to your constituents. I mean, he consistently showed utter arrogance in thinking that he was above the law, and nobody should be above the law.
Yeah, hang on a sec, but there's actually a few double words in what you're saying there. You are beginning to make it sound like it's worse because he lied to the party leader, or it's worse that he's a multimillionaire.
No, I think you, as a former member of the Lib Dems, member of Parliament, should think that it was bad, as well as everything else, that he lied to his constituency, that he lied to the courts, that he lied to the people closest to him.
But hang on a sec, right, I actually came in here and I thought that I was going to be quite critical of my former parliamentary colleague. Now I find myself being concerned about the line you're taking. And the reason for that is his millionaire status has nothing to do with it. The fact he's a politician hasn't got anything to do with it. The fact is he committed perjury and he needs to pay whatever tariff the justice system thinks a man who has acted in that particular way should pay for the crime of committing perjury. And his wealth, his status, his position as a politician should have nothing to do with it. Obviously, he himself has pleaded guilty, and I think he was right to do that. I suspected it probably would end up that way anyway. But the rest of it is not relevant, and I don't like the way the politicians are endlessly pariahed for being politicians and rich people are endlessly pariahed for being rich because they should be treated in the same way, not in a worse way, and they shouldn't be tried by media.
Well, I mean, he will be. If he goes to jail, as I said, there was a man in England last year, he will be treated in the same way.
Yeah, but Andrea, you know rightly, Andrea McVeigh, and my goodness, how many times have we done it in this programme? I just don't have any examples in front of me of people who have committed very serious crimes and they've got suspended prison sentences. They've had community service orders.
Well, every crime is different. I mean, you could talk about people who are guilty of theft who get away with it, or murder or rape. Or, I mean, there's always an example to back up your argument, and that's the way the courts, different judges, different criminals or non-criminals, different juries, if that's the case. But in this instance, he is clearly guilty. He's admitted his guilt, so therefore he has to be punished. If he was to come out publicly and admit his guilt and wasn't published, what sort of message would that give to the public?
There's nobody suggesting, Andrea, well. He shouldn't be... Hold on a second. There is no one suggesting he should not be punished. What we're debating this morning is there not a danger that he's going to be punished even more than the ordinary man in the street because he's a politician? And if so, is that fair?
Well, politicians have to be held to higher standards than the rest of us.
Should they?
Yes,
why?
Absolutely.
Why?
I mean, they represent us in Parliament. We vote for them to speak on our behalf, and therefore they are still upheld by a lot of people as people worthy
Lambert.
Of respect.
Go on, Lambert.
I just think your argument is completely unacceptable. Then let's say doctors should be punished more because people look up to them. The journalists.
We don't
should be
vote for doctors. That's the difference. We don't vote for doctors. Doctors don't speak on our behalf in Parliament.
Okay, what about journalists then? Journalists actually report the news to the public. They should be beyond reproach themselves. So let's give them a stiffer sentence. This is a ludicrous argument. When you,
you don't think MPs should be held to a higher standard than the rest
of us? That's just not on.
You don't think so? I mean, I'm flabbergasted by that.
Surely the whole basis of the justice system, Andrew McVeigh, is that we should all be treated the same in a court.
Yeah. I think he will be treated the same
but
as
you're
any
arguing
member of the
that
public.
You're arguing that actually there should be a higher expectation and therefore a greater punishment on someone depending on their status.
No, I don't think there should be a greater punishment, but I think MPs and politicians should uphold higher standards within themselves. I think they should behave better because of their public position, because they've been voted for, and because they represent ordinary members of the public. I don't think they should be so cavalier sometimes in breaking the law. But I think he will be, his sentence or whatever punishment he receives will be exactly according to if he was an ordinary member of the public. What I'm saying is he shouldn't be treated any more favourably because he's MP.
That's a no-brainer. Here's Stephen. Stay there, Lambert. Stay there, Andrea. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Okay. Go ahead, Stephen.
I find myself agreeing with Lemmy Gopik on this particular topic, Stephen, because, you know, in the law, like at the end of the day, he's got 3 penalty points for speeding. If he had held his hands up to time, there would have been no bit of the lab with this. But he has been punished because he will lose his position within government, and he'll probably, in all light, be removed from Parliament by the voter as well. So I think he will be punished.
Well, he's resigning from Parliament. He's stepping down.
They call for his head and go to jail. I think it's a wee bit OTT, in my opinion. But, you know, in a sense that he is setting standards and, you know, he has to be held up in that light. But at the same time, I think going to jail is a wee bit over the top.
Ken disagrees with you. Morning, Ken.
Oh, I definitely disagree.
So you think jail is a place for someone that puts penalty points on his wife's licence? Jail's a place for that person?
My argument would be that in his position for committing a crime, his punishment should be greater because he's in a position of trust. For example, a policeman would be in a position of trust, or a school teacher, care worker, goes before the court for, say, stealing off a patient, using his position of trust, would get extra time in jail.
Lambert wants to speak to you, Ken. Go on, Lambert.
Let me break in here, but I'm losing the quality of the sound a bit here, but let me make just one big strategic point here. Every citizen should be treated equally, whether you're a politician, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a journalist, whether even you're a member of the police. There is a case here where somebody has pleaded guilty to a crime, and we've got a legal system to judge this. It would be insane for us on the programme.
Well, it's not a question if everybody is equal before the law. We know that a policeman abusing their position of trust will get extra time. We know that a school teacher using his position of trust will get extra time than an ordinary citizen. Why would we not do that with a member of parliament?
Well, because...
Well, you made the law. You made people more equal than others.
Because you could go down this route with anybody.
No,
are you, are you seriously saying that a judge should be sitting in a court and thinking to themselves, well, that person's a plumber, therefore we'll give that person less of a sentence than someone who's a doctor?
Look, but take the case
or a politician. Surely...
A bank or people in a bank. He would be treated as if being in a position of trust. What's the difference between him and Hume? Hume? Tell me. He is in a position of trust. We have elected him because he's a trustful person to represent thousands of people and make good judgments. And he didn't do it.
You know, the other territory here, Andrew McVeigh, and I don't want to read any of the texts out at all, but there was a text exchange between...
I read it this morning.
Chris Hune and his son. And Lemmet, you're back with us now, right?
Yes, I'm
just getting into the other territory here, and I'm saying that I don't want to read any of the texts out, Lemmet.
Yeah.
But there was a text exchange between Chris Hune and his son, and this has been paraded all over the national newspapers, and indeed the BBC has published some of those texts. Is that fair game, or is that an invasion of privacy, no matter what he has done?
Yeah, apologies if that's what you're asking before. I just couldn't hear you properly, but I've got a very clear view on this. This is outrageous. After all the months of inquiry with Levinson about what's acceptable and what's not, now we drag the private messages of a child into this debate. What possible public interest justification?
Hold on, Len, but you're saying
that?
Now we drag. We drag as if the public or the press have done it. The texts were introduced by Hune's legal team.
We don't know who the texts were introduced by.
Oh, sorry, we don't
know who they were introduced by.
Well, it's all over the press. They were introduced by his legal team.
Yes, I agree with that contributor there. They were reported in a court paper pre the trial.
So they were pre-trial disclosure.
How is it in the public interest to learn about a very deeply emotional breakdown of a relationship between a son and a father?
Because
how is that in the public interest?
The son said, "If you don't own up and protect my mother, I will speak out." That's why it's there. That's what made the man say.
That's not half a million pounds. Sorry,
hold on
a second. That's not the only detail that was published. There is more. There's a lot more detail. And the other detail, Lambert, you've made your view clear this morning. The other detail is basically this. We are seeing the outpouring of a fractious relationship between a son and a father pleading with a son to engage with him, and we're reading all of that very personal copy. Lambert has obviously dropped out again. Andrea, you defend our right to see that?
Well, I mean, it was introduced in pre-trial disclosures, so it wasn't. It's not like the press have dug this up or released this. I mean, this was read out in court by Chris, as far as I'm aware.
But is it in the public interest for the likes of the BBC to publish it?
Well, I think if
there's anything pertaining to the story. Right?
I understand that.
If it's pertaining to, you know, Chris Hune telling lies, I understand why that maybe should be published. But actual detail about how Chris Hune is trying to engage with his son.
Could
son...
I come in there, Stephen?
No, hold on. Andrew McVeigh.
Well, it is heartbreaking, yes. And I think it shows the, you know, two phrases spring to mind. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And secondly, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And I'm referring to Christian's ex-wife, Vicky Price, there. He was brought down, and let's not forget, Christian wasn't brought down by the press or a fellow MP, but by his former wife, who 8 years after the driving offence revealed all in a newspaper interview. So it was actually his former wife who blew the whistle, basically, on this whole story. I mean, he was run for 3 penalty points. He had 9 points in his licence and he was facing disqualification. And I think the extent of the family breakdown, which is incredibly tragic, which shows that, it's not just 3 penalty points. This had far-reaching repercussions that I don't think anybody could have realised in 2003 when Chris Hune allegedly asked his wife
Here's
to
Bobby
take a penalty
Here's Bobby in
point.
Belfast. Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I'm going to be a bit controversial here. You said, and I'm surprised you're so naive, that all people are treated the same under the law. That's not true. Women are treated far more leniently than men. That's common fact. And it's in bail hearings, so if people are jointly charged. And in fact, although now Miss Price hasn't been tried yet, her trial starts today. I would wager that...
Well, we shouldn't be wagering anything.
We shouldn't be wagering anything about her.
Here's Jerry and Derry, Londonderry. Morning, Jerry.
Morning, Stephen. My point is really that he was arguing that politicians shouldn't be set on a higher plane from the members of the public. But to my mind, they already have done that. If you take consideration that 50% of them had issues about their expenses, now this is taxpayers' money, they claimed wrongly. Wasn't illegal, but was wrong.
That's nothing to do with
it. The point is, there's, for example, between duck houses and cleaning moats and a steer up your chimney and stuff like that, there one spring to mind, I'm not going to mention the name, had to pay something like 14,000 back of taxpayers' public money. Now, this woman wasn't held to account. All she had to do was, pay the money back. Now, can you imagine if somebody in benefits, if they'd have done that, what would have happened to them? Not only would have been dragged to the courts, but they'd had to pay every penny of that back, probably with interest. So politicians are certainly on a different plane from the rest of the public.
Okay, Jerry, thank you very much indeed. Andrea, thank you. Lembit Opik, thank you very much. Morning to you both.